and the glory forever. Amen. Well, if you'll join me now in taking your copy of God's Word, and we'll turn together to our passage for this morning and for our week ahead, and we find that in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We'll turn together now to Acts 2, 42 through 47. And we took a couple weeks off from our study of Acts, and we spent some time thinking and reflecting on Palm Sunday and Easter. And so this morning, we're going to start to ease our way back into Acts. We're not going on. I believe we're getting into chapter 12. We're not going into our next section. We're going to go back and look at this passage that's familiar to us. We've preached on it before. We've had it in our study of the book of Acts. We want to come back to it because we want to use it this morning, or for it to do with us, to continue to build our foundation for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And here in a few moments, we're going to join together at this table. We want to come to this passage along with 1 Corinthians 11, which we'll look at as well. We want to have these passages continue to build this foundation of how we understand the Lord's Supper and how we understand it and how we come and participate in it. And this is a participatory meal. We come before it. We take of the bread. We take of the cup. And God's Word tells us not only about this, but also how we are to engage and participate in it. We use these passages, or we pray the Lord we use these passages in this way this morning. Let's go to Him in prayer now for that very thing. Lord, as we prepare now to turn to Your Word, bless, we pray, the reading and preaching of Your Word. Bless that the hearing of Your Word. And may the Holy Spirit be here with us, so we may hear Your Word and know it as Your Word, and for it to be applied where it needs to be applied. May it also be of good use to us this morning as we prepare to come before Your table. May this be a preparatory time as we come to participate in this sacrament. Lord, bless us in this way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts 2, 42 through 47. We'll stand together now for the reading of God's Word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. You may be seated. As a teenager, I had a variety of jobs. It's pretty common for my generation, that area, for us to have a number of jobs. And one of the jobs I worked was in between high school and going off to college at Winthrop. And I was a pizza delivery guy for Sergeant Pepperoni's in Sumter. It was an interesting job. One of the reasons was because there's two owners. One of them, his name was Bill, was retired out of the Air Force, and it was just a hippie. And so when I worked the evening shift, I would come in, and he would make me his favorite sandwich. Probably should have checked what he put into it, but I didn't. I trusted him. But as I would eat the sandwich and the fries and have my drink, he would sit there with me and go all over all of his sort of hippie philosophy and all things. And so it led to some interesting conversations. And actually just found he passed away here recently, so I had been thinking of him with this. But my main job was to deliver pizzas. And if you know anything about delivering pizzas, you know that the number one rule for any pizza delivery person as you never, ever go into the house or the apartment or the hotel room of where you're delivering. You go up to the door, you knock on the door, you ring the doorbell, they come to the door. You hand you money, you hand them pizzas, you hope they give you a good tip, you say good evening to them and you go on your merry way. Number one rule, you never, ever go into the place. You stay at the door and you make the transaction. So you can probably see where we're heading with this. I wasn't always very good at listening to rules or following them. So I would go out on a call, and if I was invited in, I would walk right in like I lived there. Fall into their kitchen, put it down on the table or the buffet. They would hand me my money. I would thank them and I would leave. Sometimes they would actually invite me to stay and have some pizza with them before I left. So it was like a teenage boy's dream. I get to drive all over town, deliver pizzas. They're feeding me. They're paying me. It's wonderful. It all came to a head one evening. I believe it was a weekend. It was an early evening in the summer. We received a call to deliver several pizzas. It was two carriers worth of pizzas to Mount Vernon Inn. And Mount Vernon Inn is a terrible hotel in Sumter. It's where a lot of degenerates would go. It's not where you would stay with your family. We had this large order for pizzas. Two carriers are probably about 8 to 12 pizzas, if I remember correctly. I drive over to Mount Vernon Inn. The room is on the first floor. I see the room number. And out in front of that room, there's about half a dozen to about 8 Cadillacs. Most of them new, or maybe a little bit older, but they're all sort of newish Cadillacs. They all had license plates from Florida or New York. So I grab my pizza carriers and I go up and I knock on the door and it opens and they say, "Come on in." So I go waltzing in like I should be in this room at Mount Vernon Inn. I go, I look around, there's about a dozen men in there, all wearing pastel colored polo shirts, the buttons undone, and some sort of gold chain around their neck. And I want to get into stereotypes, that's as far as I'll go. But on the tables were guns and paraphernalia. So I pretty quickly realize I don't need to be here. So I try to get the transaction going, like, "Oh, here's your pizzas." And they say, "How much is it?" And I tell them. So one man stands up, reaches into his pocket, pulls out a wad of cash, counts out the cash, hands it to me. As he's handing it to me, he looks me dead in the eye and he says, "You know, we could kill you and no one would ever find you." And then he gave me a pretty hefty tip. So I said, "Yes, sir. Thank you. Goodbye." And I got here as quickly as possible. You know what I never did again? I never went to another house to deliver a pizza in my life. Even when my dad ordered pizza to the house I grew up in, I would still look around for Cadillacs and gold chains and afraid somebody was in the bushes with a pistol. I don't know if he was telling the truth or not. I don't want to find out, but it stuck with me. I realized a lesson that night, a life lesson, and that is my life is in my hands, right? We hold our lives in our hands, and we make decisions, and we go through life, and these decisions have an effect on that. And I learned that. I should not have gone into that room. They probably could have very easily have taken my life. I needed to make smarter and wiser decisions because of that. We hold our lives in our hands. And that lesson is true here when we come to the Lord's table. But when we come to His table, we come to His sacrament, it's not our life we hold in our hands, it's our spiritual life we hold in our hands. It's the spiritual life God has given to us that we hold into our hands. And so we come to this table and we make a decision about what we're going to do with that life. Are we coming to this table to take the life of Jesus in our hands, the perfect birth and life and obedience and suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus? Are we going to take that in our hands? Are we going to be so bold as to come to this table and declare that it is our own spiritual hands we hold in our hands, and we'd rather hold on to that than the life of Jesus? And that's the glimpse we're given here in our Acts passage, and we'll see Paul explain that further in his instructions to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11. As I've already been said, we've looked at this passage before, we've preached it before, we've been through our study of Acts, we've looked at this earlier. Then we see this passage gives us this big picture, this 30,000 foot view snapshot of the life of the early church. And as you've read before, and we read together this morning, I hope you notice it reads like one continuous sentence. Every sentence begins with and. Did you notice that? So Luke is showing that this is all connected. Beginning with that first verse, this is all connected. This is what the church is doing. This is the life of the church. It's not segregated here and there. It's not in this pocket over here, this pocket over here. This is what the church does. This is what the early church believed in. This is how they lived their lives. It's all connected together. And so what I want us to do this morning is to kind of get from that 30,000-foot view, and I want us to focus in on the approach of the early church to the Lord's Supper, because they talk about it here. But Luke doesn't intend for us to begin our understanding of this at the table. He intends for us to begin our understanding with this at the first sentence. They devoted themselves to the apostles' preaching and teaching. So Luke is telling us that the apostles were faithful in instructing their congregations about God's word, about what God says in his word, and here in particular, about the Lord's Supper. That Peter and James and John and Thomas and Matthew, all the apostles, were faithful in teaching their congregations about the Lord's Supper, what it means, and how they are to take it, how they are to participate in it. And Luke goes on to say that the congregations would listen. When the apostles sent to preach, they would listen and they would obey. And he said there's a twofold effect to this. Because of the apostles preaching and teaching, because of their listening to it and obeying it, there's a twofold effect. People were in awe. People all around Jerusalem looked at it going, this is amazing. What y'all are preaching, what you're teaching, what you're believing, what you're living. That's amazing to us. And then that all leads on to salvation. Not only were they in awe, but some of those in awe were coming to faith. The Lord would add to their number day by day those who were being saved. So Luke is telling us about the church. It isn't programmatic. Right? They weren't going out trying to find the fanciest, flashiest preacher out there. They weren't out there trying to kind of redo things to make themselves attractive to the word. Luke says very simply, the early church was devoted to biblical teaching and preaching. They were committed to obeying God's word. When they did all this in reference to the Lord's Supper, people noticed and people even came to faith. Now think about that. They would go on Sundays. They would go to worship. They would take the Lord's Supper. And there were people who were like, that is amazing. And I want to know more about this. But why? Why did it cause this sort of effect? Well, the answer is the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. The church took seriously Jesus in the way they listened to God's word. They took Jesus seriously in the way they obeyed God's word. And in that faith and love of obedience, the early church then would took Jesus' life in their hands every time they came to this table. When they took the bread, and probably loaves of bread, and the apostle would take it and break that loaf of bread in the middle. And they passed it around, and they took chunks of it. And they had a common cup of wine. That gets some of the germaphobes, won't it, right? Everybody drinking out of the same cup. But it was one cup of wine. And they would pass it around. So as they did this, as they were taking the body broken, as they were taking the blood spilled, they were taking Jesus' life into their hands. Not physically. We don't believe in transubstantiation, that the elements became the physical body and blood of Jesus, but spiritually it is the body and blood of Jesus. So every time they came to this table, they took the life of Jesus in their hands. And in that faith, they proclaim before God, they proclaim to each other, and they proclaim to the world around them that this life in their hands, this is who they believed in. They believed in who he is and what he's done for his people. Every time they took that bread, every time they took that cup, they confessed before God, to each other, and to the world that they believe Jesus is God himself. The second person of the Trinity, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, born in that manger in Bethlehem. That the divine Son of God in human flesh lived perfectly according to God's law. He never faltered. He never failed. He never sinned. He lived in perfect obedience. And this same Jesus is one who suffered under the whip and crown of thorns. The same Jesus who was nailed to the cross, who took on the holy and righteous wrath of the Father. This Jesus died. This Jesus was buried in the tomb. This Jesus was resurrected on the third day. This is what they confess as their faith. They confess this is who Jesus is, and this is what he's done for them. All who Jesus is, and all that Jesus did, was for them, each of them, for their spiritual good and for their eternal welfare. They took Jesus' spiritual life and the bread and cup in their hands, and they confess his life for mine, his obedience for mine, his righteousness for my salvation, his love for my hatred, his grace for my anger. This is my Jesus. And my life is now hidden in the life of my Jesus. Luke gives us a snapshot of the early church coming and taking the spiritual life of Jesus in their hands and saying, this is my Jesus. His life for mine. And because of their obedience, because of that faith, people were in awe. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We take that church, and then we go to the Corinthian church that Paul's addressing in 1 Corinthians 11. And we see there's a difference. People in Corinth, there's some people in the Corinthian church, as they were coming to the table, they didn't come to lay hold of the life of Jesus. They came to proclaim their own sinful life. There's a stark contrast between these two churches. They go from life to death, from joy to sorrow, from good times to bad times. Paul admonishes them and says, look, you got people in your church who, when you come to communion, they're hogging up all the bread. They're keeping it from others, and they're eating it till they're full. And then there's others of you who are taking the wine, and you're getting drunk off of it. They're selfish. They're narcissistic. They're looking down on others. They've come to this table to be gluttonous about their own lives and their own needs. Can you imagine sitting in a pew with them as the bread is being passed? They grab it out of your hand and say, give it to me. I'm hungry. And you begin gnawing on it. Or as the cup gets to you, they yank out your hand and they go, I'm not drunk enough. Give it over to me. The way they were treating the sacrament. They never took the time to examine themselves. They never stopped to think. They never stopped to think, whose life do I trust in? Mine or Jesus? They never took the time to think through that, so they continued trusting in their own works righteousness. Isaiah tells us our works righteousness are no better than filthy rags. And at this table, the Lord's table, they took their life in their own hands and they forsook the life of Jesus. They rejected the body of Jesus. They rejected the blood of Jesus. They rejected the very life of Jesus. They came to proclaim their own sinful lives, not the life of Jesus, but their own lives. And that's why Paul says, stop. You have got to stop this madness. Because when you come to this table, you come about life. And if you continue to hold on to your life instead of the life of Jesus, then you will eat and drink judgment on yourself. That you have rejected the perfect life of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. You've rejected his life so you can hold on to yours. Stop doing it. The early church in Acts, they came to take the life of Jesus in their hands, and God blessed them. In the Corinthian church, they would come and take their life in their hands and to reject Jesus, and God judged them. And it all came down to the difference of whose life was represented at the table. Whose life did they trust in? The perfect life of Jesus, leading to his perfect sacrifice for our eternal salvation, or to trust in their own lives. These people who were born dead in their sins and trespasses, with hearts that were wicked and sick, that were enemies of God, who would run from the good shepherd instead of following him. It's all in how they believed in their approach to the table. In a few moments, you and I will come to the same table. We'll come to take the same sacrament. And Paul, through the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us we must examine ourselves before we take the sacraments. We must examine ourselves to see whose life we want in our hands, Jesus or mine. Whose life do you trust in more, yours or Jesus? By whose works do you trust will save you? Your works are the works of Jesus. Who do you live to bring glory to, yourself or Jesus Christ? See, for the church in Acts, this table was all about Jesus. To those in Corinth, this table was all about themselves. So we come this morning, we come with our spiritual lives in our hands. And either we're coming to trust in the perfect life and obedience of Jesus, or we come to trust in our own. And at this table, Jesus beckons us to trust in him. That it's his perfect body broken for you. This is his perfect righteous blood shed for you. To trust in him. To trust that all of this was done for you. That he would love you this much. That he would go upon the cross to be broken. To have his blood spilt. To take upon the wrath of the Father. So that you and I would never know the hell of the cross. So Jesus invites each of us to come to spiritually take of his body and blood. To trust in his life for your life. To grow in faith so you can continue to die to your old self and live more for Jesus. In a few moments, we will come and take a life in our hands. The question is, whose life will it be? Will it be your own sinful life? And will it be the perfect life of Jesus Christ? Let's pray together.